Imagine scrolling through Instagram and seeing yet another no regrets tattoo. From Edith Piaf's defiant anthem to celebrity mantras, our culture celebrates living regret-free. But what if this popular philosophy is fundamentally wrong? What if regret isn't something to avoid, but rather one of our most valuable emotional tools? Drawing from groundbreaking research, including the World Regret Survey, 16,000-plus regrets from 105 countries, and the American Regret Project, 4,489 Americans, we discover that regret is not only universal, but potentially transformative, if we know how to harness it properly. The evidence is clear. 82% of people occasionally look back wishing they'd done things differently, with 43% doing so frequently. Far from being something to banish, regret might be our most powerful teacher. Regret is distinctly human, requiring two remarkable mental abilities, time travel and storytelling. Unlike basic emotions like fear or anger, regret demands sophisticated cognitive processing. We must revisit past decisions, negate what happened, substitute alternatives, and project different outcomes. This cognitive ability emerges around age 6. People with certain brain injuries or conditions like Huntington's, Parkinson's, or schizophrenia often lose this capacity. Rather than indicating psychological strength, the absence of regret frequently signals cognitive impairment. What distinguishes regret from disappointment is its unique combination of comparison, contrasting reality with imagined alternatives, and self-blame, recognizing personal responsibility. When Michelle Mayo got an Edith Piaf-inspired tattoo reading Non je ne regrette rien for her 50th birthday, she claimed to live without regrets while acknowledging mistakes that taught valuable lessons. Ironically, Piaf herself died with apparent regrets, her final words suggesting accountability for her choices. Olympic bronze medalists often appear happier than silver medalists, revealing a fascinating aspect of our minds. When processing outcomes, we engage in counterfactual thinking, imagining alternatives to reality. A study of the 1992 Olympics showed bronze medalists appeared significantly happier, 7.1 on an agony to ecstasy scale, than silver medalists, 4.8. Why? Bronze medalists think, at least I got a medal, downward counterfactuals, or at leasts, while silver medalists dwell on nearly winning gold, upward counterfactuals, or if onlys. Though comfort seems preferable to pain, research shows if-onlys dominate our thinking, comprising up to 80% of our counterfactual thoughts. This paradox exists because regret serves an evolutionary purpose. Painful if-only thoughts improve future performance. Studies consistently show that upward counterfactual thinking enhances subsequent task performance. As Leonard Cohen wrote, "There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Regret's discomfort illuminates better paths forward." Rather than being an emotion to avoid, regret functions as a cognitive tool that improves our lives in three key ways. First, regret improves our decision hygiene by making us more thorough. When we feel the sting of regret from hasty decisions, we prepare more carefully next time. Studies show regretful negotiators prepare better, make stronger offers, and create more value. Second, regret boosts performance. Experiments show that inducing regret, encouraging if-only thinking, leads to improved performance and persistence. Even hearing others' regrets helps. Participants exposed to regret stories scored 10% higher on LSAT questions and solved complex puzzles more effectively. Third, regret deepens meaning in our lives. Northwestern students who reflected on alternative university or friendship choices found their actual experiences more meaningful. Considering what might have been often creates greater meaning than directly contemplating an event's significance. The healthiest approach is feeling is for thinking, using emotions as catalysts for improved behavior. Like stress, regret becomes productive when framed as an evaluation of specific behaviors rather than character judgments. While regrets appear different on the surface, they share deeper structural similarities. like Chomsky's linguistic deep structure, regrets across cultures reveal four fundamental categories. Foundation regrets arise from failures to be responsible, undermining stability through poor choices in education, finances, or health. They stem from temporal discounting and failure to understand compounding effects. Small, poor decisions accumulate until their impact becomes gradually and then suddenly devastating. Boldness regrets stem from chances not taken in life. People regret inactions more than actions. In the American Regret Project, inaction regrets outnumbered action regrets nearly 2-to-1. At their core is thwarted growth, failing to become who one could have been. Moral regrets occur when we compromise our principles. Unlike boldness regrets, these typically involve actions rather than inactions. They cluster around harm, cheating, disloyalty, subversion, and desecration. Though the smallest category numerically, moral regrets reveal our deep desire to be good. Connection regrets, the largest category, arise when relationships fracture or remain incomplete. They follow a common plot line. A relationship that was once intact, or should have been, no longer is. People avoid reconnecting, fearing awkwardness, but we consistently overestimate the discomfort and underestimate others' positive responses. When facing regrets, particularly those of inaction, we can convert them into fuel for progress through three steps. Step 1. Self-disclosure. Writing or talking about regrets for just 15 minutes daily increases life satisfaction. Language transforms abstract emotions into concrete thoughts, moving experiences from emotional to cognitive realms. Even private writing about difficulties improves health, mood, immunity, academic performance, and employment prospects. Step 2. Self-compassion. After disclosure, avoid self-criticism, which leads to rumination, or excessive self-esteem, which can foster narcissism. Instead, extend to yourself the same warmth you'd offer others. Self-compassion correlates with greater optimism, happiness, curiosity, wisdom, emotional intelligence, and deeper connections, while reducing depression, anxiety, and stress. Step 3. Self-distancing. View your situation as a detached observer rather than immersing in negative emotions. This transforms your role from scuba diver to oceanographer, from swimming in regret to examining it from above. Practice self-distancing through space, the fly-on-the-wall technique, time, imagining your perspective in 10 years, or language, using third-person pronouns when addressing yourself. When Alfred Nobel read his mistakenly published obituary labeling him the Merchant of Death, he established the Nobel Prizes to transform his legacy. Glimpsing how history might remember him motivated Nobel to avoid future regret. We are both authors and actors in our life stories. Psychologist Dan McAdams identifies two narrative patterns, contamination sequences, good turning bad, and redemption sequences, negative transforming into positive. Research shows people who construct redemption narratives tend to be more satisfied with life and find greater meaning in their experiences. This redemptive quality appears in Cheryl Johnson's story, who reconnected with her friend Jen after 25 years. When Cheryl expressed regret over lost time, Jen replied, "But we still have a lot of years left," transforming regret into future possibility. Understanding what we truly regret reveals what we truly value, pointing toward a life well lived, one built on a solid foundation, enriched by boldness, guided by morality, and deepened through connection. When embraced rather than denied, regret transforms from a source of pain into our most powerful teacher.